come on. The fivefold are trainers to train you to do. We're just trainers, but we're all ministers. You guys are awesome. What a powerful team, you know, and it, you know, you could come into Summit and you could just go like, wow, this freaks me out. You guys are like healing people. You're all pumped up and you guys are, you know, this is weird, you know. No, it's what Jesus did. Jesus trained them and he equipped them and he sent them. And part of our DNA is that we're going to send people into missions. And if we ignore LA and we ignore San Diego and we're going into these trips, it's like, I go to China next week. We're going to Africa. We're going to Brazil next month. I'm sorry, next month. We're going into Nicaragua. We're going into, you know, into Botswana, into Zambia. We can go there because God said go there, but you don't ignore here. You know, so missions isn't just a trip. Missions is our life. So we're all on a mission. We get equipped, but some of us go to the place where he tells us to go, and we bless the people. Are you with me? So we need to get that mindset. God, there's no, it's a missionary. It's just, we're just Christians. I mean, there's a missionary, but I'm saying, like, you know, we need to get that mentality that it doesn't take a missionary to be on a mission. All Christians have a mission, and it's called the Great Commission. It's not my sermon. That was free. Father, bless your word today. I know you're going to do it, so I know we have a shorter time, but I know you can deposit what you want to. So cut out what you want to cut out. Let me speak what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to talk about a heart marked with faith, and I want to come out of Joshua. And as I was thinking about this, as I was kind of just setting it up, I'm like, you know, I love teaching out of the New Testament. We're New Covenant Christians. I got it. And, you know, people can talk about God did this and that, and look what he did in the Old Testament. It's like, look what he did to Job. It's like, I'm not a disciple of Job. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we have different promises in the New. Find it in the New. Find it, you know, like God's a good God. But there's really good stuff and stories in the old that are so powerful. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, I want to talk about Caleb today. Caleb and Joshua walked together. And Joshua is what? Yeshua. It was a type and shadow of Jesus. You know, if you look at Joshua and his name, you know, it's like the Savior. But who hung out with him was Caleb. And I was thinking, now I want to talk about somebody who is a friend of the Savior. Because we're friends of the Savior. And there was something about Caleb that was really special. And every Joshua needs a Caleb. And even the Son of God is looking for Calebs today. He's looking for friends. Jesus said, I don't call you slaves, I call you friends. I disclose all things to you. So I want to read out of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 14, verse 6, it says, the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of blah, blah, blah. And the word of the Lord came to him, let me see, la, 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 verse 7. He said, this is a Caleb. He said, I was 40, I got to do this fast. You just got to roll with me. He said, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as was in my heart. So he's saying, hey, I was 40 when I was marked with this word. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholeheartedly follow. You know what? Even if you have unbelief, it's like, zip it and get some faith. But don't release a bunch of unbelief on everybody around you. Hey, we should go pray for that guy. No, man, we really need to get going. Anyway, just saying. He said, because you followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And then he says, and I love this in verse 10, he said, now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, and he has said these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. He's 85 years old, and he's repping it. Verse 11, and he says, and yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war. Come on. And then he says, for war, for both going out and coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain which the Lord has spoken that day, and I should be able to drive them out. And he talks about the giants he's going to chase out. Caleb's heart was, it was branded with faith. It was marked with faith. It wasn't just something that was just weak. It wasn't wimpy. It was something that was so powerful. And he says, here I am, you know, 45 years later. And he was still just saying, it's not gone. It's there. So, you know, like Christianity, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. What's it going to look like 45 years later? Are we marked with such a resolve that we're still standing? Bible talks about in the last days, there'll be a great apostasy, which the definition of apostasy is falling away. A great falling away. How many will still be standing? 120 in the upper room. There's over 500 invited. How does that work? Who's still standing? Because something's marked their heart. Something's different inside of them. And when the fire was turned up, you know, it just reminded him of the word of the Lord that was on his heart. It was something that faith had been such a part of his heart. It was inside his heart. You couldn't shake it. And we need to get that kind of resolve. We need to get that kind of conviction. So number one is two voices, two choices. And so we know the story in Numbers 13. They come back and he says, we went into the land. And he said, nevertheless, the people, in verse 28 of Numbers 13, 28, he said, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. So the people were complaining, saying, we saw giants in the land. Caleb quiets the people in verse 30 and before the Lord, and he says, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. One saying there's giants, we can't do it. The other saying we can do it, we're able to overcome it. But the men had gone with them said, we're not able to go against the people. They're stronger than we. In Numbers 30, 31. So there's two voices, two different voices. One voice saying we can't do it. One voice saying we can do it. Numbers 14, 1 and 2. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. So children of Israel, they believed because there was 10 people saying you can't do it and 2 people saying you can do it. You could just go to a church where they don't challenge you to do anything, and then, you know, you're a rock star. You could just feel good all the time and just go, man, I don't have to do a thing. But I didn't know. I'd never read, you know, we get saved to get comfortable. I didn't see it happen. I didn't see the model. Now, I'm not saying we don't have seasons, the greatest joy. And, man, I came just hanging out with the first, having a steak dinner at their house, and then she turned me on to this ice cream. And she wrecked me because then I ate it every single night. That gelato, that was wrong for a person who likes ice cream to be introduced to gelato. But those are friend, I won't forget it. You know, it's like those are friend times when you sit there and you get those times. But it's like, but we're going to charge the mountain. We've also been there with Kelly in Africa. It's like, let's just, you know what I mean? Like, let's just do something. Or in other nations, I don't even remember. Was I with you in Africa? Yes, I was with you in Africa and other nations. We were in Africa. They start to blend after a while. It's like, we were in Costa Rica. We were in Africa. You know, you can't remember which nations. But you bond. You build relationships. And it's awesome. We need friendships, but we need to also encourage one another that we can go in and come out. We can go in and come out. We can do things where you're going out to minister and you come in and you get strengthened. But if you don't have faith in your heart, you can't go out and come in long because you'll get tired because you're going out and you're not, something's missing inside. Some people say, well, I need a vacation. You need some faith. Two choices, two voices. So two voices, we could see clearly that one said we could do it, one said that we couldn't. And Caleb spoke a different word. He said, why? We can. And it goes back to, you know, the two voices even goes back even to the garden. There was two choices. There was two trees in the garden. And Eve said in Genesis 3:12, or Adam said, she gave to the tree and I ate. So he's talking to God. And God's saying, what'd you do here? And he says, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave to me of the tree and I ate. Well, what if Adam would have just spoke up? What if Eve would have said, let's eat? And Adam said, that's wrong. Don't you do it. Don't listen to that snake. Let's stop this right now. But, you know, you have to speak up. You can say, I know the right thing to do. Well, you have a voice. Not only do you have to listen to the right voice, you need to speak the right voice. Because there's always going to be two voices going off. And those two voices are going to give you two choices. If you say, well, I just want to be at the place where my faith gets to a place where, you know, like I'm just like in that zone again and I can just like follow God and feel like I'm walking in this righteousness, you can. But it's not that those choices and voices will ever go away. You'll be tempted until we get to heaven, as long as we're on this planet. But the difference is that you know the voice of temptation, you know the voice of God. And the difference is now when you know the voice of God and you know the voice of the devil, it's easy to take the right choice. And sometimes we choose the wrong choice, and that's where we go back to the mercy of God, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us and forgives us. But there's two voices, the voice of fear and the voice of faith. And they're both believing in the unseen. It's just we just have to choose the right one. We can talk about God's plan for our lives, but volume is informing and commitment is transforming. See, a lot of people, they have a lot of knowledge. We're in an information age. And you can get every podcast, everything, listen to the craziest ideas. But if all you're getting is the information, it's like, wait, commitment with that information and making a commitment with it turns to transformation. And there's a lot of people that are really, really informed, but they're not really committed. That don't bring that C word up. Oh, my goodness, in church. I want to do whatever I want to do. I want to float where I want to float. I'm one of those. I'm just going to be a wild child. I'm telling you right now, you do things on team better than you could do by yourself. And your team inspires you to do better things. When I was young, I hung out with a bunch of black belts and fighters. So when I went to fight, I beat everybody because I hung out and got punched by black belts. But I got trained because I hung out with people better than me. So when I went in the ring, I was better than the people that were in my class. You know, if you only hang out with people who aren't better than you or don't challenge you, you'll never grow. Hang out with better musicians, you become a better musician. You hang out with people who are deep thinkers, you'll be a better thinker. It's like we need discipleship, and there's a diversity of all of us. We all have strengths. He says, love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Some people are heart people. If you hang out with Mr. Bill, you're going to love more because he's a big old heart loving. You know what I mean? It's like, got that, love that about you. And it's like, if you hang out with Pastor Teresa, you're going to have like that, love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, because she's going to challenge you to just go, win souls, do Great Commission. You know what I mean? There's a different challenge, you know? And it's, we do it in love, but there's a different challenge that's there. And so each person, there's a diversity. So when we isolate ourselves, we limit ourselves. And that's the voice of the devil, is isolate yourself from the team, and then he can really pick you off. Two voices, two choices, they'll always be there. And the next one, number two, is Caleb's encouragement. Caleb just speaks up. He's listening to all this stuff going on, and we need to be those who speak up. Caleb spoke up, and he said, the land that we've gone through is exceedingly good, in Numbers 14, verse 8. And the Lord delights in us, and he will bring us into the land and give it to us. The land flows with milk and honey. And he says this, only don't rebel against the Lord. If we don't go in and do what God's called us to do, is that we're rebelling. He said, don't rebel against the Lord and fear the people of the land. He said, they're our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Don't fear them. There's no one stronger than the God you serve. See, Caleb saw the land through the eyes of faith because he had his heart. He had a faith marked in his heart that wouldn't quit. Don't get sidetracked right before your goal. And the worst thing you could do is, and sometimes that's the way it is, your last step is your hardest step. If you're a runner, you know you get a side stitch. Don't stop. The stitch will go away. You just keep going, and then all of a sudden you have the second wind. Come on, I've heard this, of course, because I haven't, like, pushed a baby out. But moms, I heard that it's hardest right at the end, right? You don't give up and say, man, I'm not going to go any farther. I'm going to quit pushing. No, you got to keep pushing. But some Christians give up because it gets hard, but yet they're right a step away from going into what God's called them to go in and possess. They're right there on the edge, and they're saying, no, we're going to camp out, and we want our 2.5 tribes to camp out on this side of the river. You are those Christians who are going to go take the land and your possessions. We're happy here. We have enough. We're sustained. Is it really good enough just to have enough? Well, you can get saved, and you can have enough, and you can get saved, and you can just be a Christian and love God. Got it. But there's so much more, because there's a bunch of people who are not. There's a bunch of people who need to hear. There's a bunch of people hurting, sick, and dying. And we're going to go in, not to go in and conquer some land and tear them up. We're to go in there and heal them. We're to go in and bring salvation. We're to go in and bring the answer. We're to go in and bring prosperity. We're to go in and bring transformation in these cities. Well, the cities are fortified. Nah, come on. Where are those who say, instead of criticizing government, where are those in here who say, I'm going to aspire to a place of government. I'm going to bring the light of Jesus Christ into government. And you get, starts by going local and then to state and then into federal. It's like where we've got to be those who take revival and turn it into reformation and transform our cities and transform society. And the only way it happens, because you cannot transform a region until you transform this region. But when you get a transformed heart, those are people who transform regions. And Caleb had that. Caleb's standing there. And it's like, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Some of you are going, well, it's been a decade. Caleb's standing there 38 years later. And he's still standing there. He's still standing. There was a spark to Caleb's fire, 2A. There was a spark that lit the fire. You have to have both. You have to have fire, and you have to have something that's going to be combustionable. You have to have both. And there was a spark that lit it up, and God gave the keys to his buddy, and Joshua had it. And when Joshua took over leadership, God gave him specific instructions in Joshua 1, and he told him, he said, Moses is dead. You're going to go in. You're going to do this every place the sole of your foot treads. We all get excited about that. But God gave him specific instructions, and he told him in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, he said, be strong and of good courage. Okay, we know we need that to inherit. We all want to inherit what God has for us, but we have to be strong and have courage. And we say, okay. Then he says, only be strong and very courageous. We need to have more courage. Well, how are we going to get that more courage? Then he tells us in verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. We have to get word, not only get the conviction, but feed the fire. We have to have a heart our heart has to be marked with word and marked with faith, but faith has to be stoked. There has to be that substance that keeps our faith going, that keeps our faith challenged. You have to feed faith. And faith comes by what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we constantly need to get the word of God, not just to our ears, but into our heart. And the psalmist said, thy word I've hidden in my heart that I may not sin against thee. The psalmist had it in his heart. And a lot of Christians get a bunch in their ear, and they got a bunch of information and a bunch in their brain, but we got to get it into our heart. And when we get it down into our heart, then we'll get courage and strength to face and to speak differently than the people around us, to be different than the people around us, to stand for integrity and honesty, to stand up to injustice, to stand against something and say, not here, not on my watch. Well, Jericho's never been breached. The walls are so thick. They're as thick as this hole, almost all the way over to the edge of this stave. That's how thick the wall is. There's skulls hanging off the wall. There's no way. It's never been breached. Okay, God's the God of the impossible. And he pushed the walls in, not out. And he crushed those walls. God can do it through you. But he needs to take this territory before he's going to take that territory. And then this is what he said. He said, this is, okay, so I know I'm supposed to be strong. And how do I be? Okay, I need to do it by the word of God. I need to get faith in me. And then he says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you, what? Next thing is, we're supposed to go. We're supposed to do something with it. We're not just supposed to think. We're supposed to travel with it. We got to take it, and then we got to go. You say, well, I don't, you know, I can't. No, go. I'm talking about go out these doors and go somewhere with it. Just going to eat. You'll find people. They'll be limping. You'll see something. You'll see somebody sad and hurting. God will just tell you, give the waitress a huge tip. Just tell her something encouraging. Don't go in there, the Lord wants to prophesy over thee. And if you're a Christian and you give bad tips, shame on you. You should be the best tippers. They better be saying, when they come from Summit, man, they are good. They're generous people. I want to go visit that church. You should be telling them, though, like, I have a word of encouragement for you. Yeah, okay. And then you just prophesy. Same thing. But you got to get in the day. You know, you don't come. I serve the great shepherd. There's no shepherds around here. They're just going to be like, yeah, right, dude. Just, you get it? You go when you go into your workplace and then your company's trying to do something dishonest and you say, no, I can't be a part of that. That's going. That's standing and saying, no, I'm taking a stand. I'm not standing for this. We're not going to do it that way. And God will bless us anyway. So here's Caleb 38 years later. And he's saying, here I am. Sometimes it takes 38 years. You're saying, I don't think I can stand any longer. You can if you get it inside of your heart. Face eternal. But you got to get marked. You got to allow God's word to come in and make a change in your life. I know I never was the same. When God came in, and he just wrecked my life. I was never the same. I was marked. I got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. All within 5 minutes, I was totally changed for eternity and have never been the same. I can't do that anymore. I can't do those things anymore. I just couldn't because something shifted. The great love of God just came in and he'll push it all out. Would you stand with me today? You say, well, I don't know how. You're not supposed to squeeze lemons out like a lemon tree going, ah, lemon, come out. But you can stand at the foot of that cross and you can say, God, forgive me and cleanse me. And you can get filled with the word of God. You can get marked and you can stoke that fire just like one of my friends who's had a He's had this stove in his house, and he said he's never turned on the heat because he turns on the heat by throwing wood into the fire. And for years, he just throws a wood into the fire, and it heats their whole house. Isn't that awesome? Like, I'd love to cut the STG&E bill. Do you know you can just put another log of faith in the fire every day? You can just keep feeding it. You don't have to go around saying, I'm just like afraid and the giants and my destiny and my inheritance. Do you know what else I love about that? Is that Caleb's faith wasn't just for Caleb. It was Caleb's faith was there to take other people into their inheritance. Caleb's faith affected generations behind him. And we're going to figure that out, that our ability to keep the fire going affects the generations behind us. You want to leave a legacy? Then you get your heart marked and you make a commitment that I am committed to the Word of God. I'm committed to feed that. I'm committed to fan that flame. I'm committed to that beyond anything that could happen. You can't rock me out. You can't offend me out. You can't isolate me out. You can't. None of that stuff is going to happen because I am committed. Are you with me? And when you're committed, you combine. And when that commitment and that resolve and that word of God is inside of you, the Spirit breathes on it. Oh, that's an army for action. It's like Ezekiel. We get it in us and on us, but then when he breathes on it, it's an army called to action. God says, go do this thing. And then it gets to be fun, and you're just waiting for marching orders. Give me some more orders. Tell me what to do. I'm ready to go. Would you just bow your heads for a minute? Father, I just pray right now all over this room that if someone's heart is not fully committed to you, that they would make it fully committed today. I pray today their heart would get marked for you. You see, Jesus was marked and his body was pierced and his blood spilled and his blood was spilled over for your sins. But unless you ask him to forgive your sins and you mean it with your heart, unless you get your heart marked with that mark, it's called the mark of a believer. It's a Christian, but that's like Christ-like. Until you associate with what he did by saying, I receive forgiveness, the marks you took on the cross. The Bible tells us that the punishment of our sin is death. And people are, they're in hell tormented for eternity because they would not receive what Jesus did. They couldn't get it past their head, and they never let it get on their heart. They never allowed transformation, and they knew about a God. My goodness, James tells us demons even say it. Demons believe in God. But you got to get saved. You got to get marked. You got to have, there's got to be a change. So God needs to come into your life and change you. Not to just know about God, but to know God. And to know Him starts by asking Him to forgive your sins. And then He fellowships and He comes in and He fills your heart with His love. So I'm asking you today, if you're in this room and you say, I want that. I want that. No fanfare. I just want that relationship. I want that with God. So it's serious. If you just, for a second, if you just keep your heads bowed, everyone just be still for a minute. I just want this just a sacred moment right now. If there's one person in this room who's saying, today's my day to just give God my whole heart. The difference of Caleb is he followed God wholly with all his heart. Totally, fully, completely. And the other people caused everyone's hearts to melt with fear. Because they had a lot of fear in their heart. It just comes out. The Bible says with the mouth man speaks of that which fills his heart. If we're always speaking fear, that's what's in our heart. So I'm asking you, if you've never asked Jesus to forgive your sin, will you do it now? Will you do it today? Will you make a mark? Will you make a stand? So if that's you and you say, I've never done that before, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And if you're here and you say, well, I've done that, but I feel like maybe I've not fully given in my heart. Maybe I'm reserved. I'm holding back something. Maybe I really haven't allowed that mark in my heart where I'm going to actually make a difference in my world. But I want to fully commit. You can do that today also. But first, I want to ask you, if you're in this room and you've never asked Jesus to forgive your sins and you want to, and you say, I want to go to heaven. I want that in my heart. I want God to mark my heart. I want it fully and completely. I want to be His disciple. Today, I want to be born again. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me right here. Quickly, I'm going to move right on. Amen. Anyone else, just say, that's me. Here I am. Here I am. If you're here and you say, man, I've done that, but I know I'm not fully, my heart's not fully His, but I want it all to be His, would you just raise your hand quickly? Quickly. 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 There you go. I got you. Amen. You can put your hand down. Pray this prayer with me. Just say, Father, everyone all over the room, say, Father, forgive my sins. This day, I declare that I believe the gospel that Jesus Christ was crucified, that He died, that He was buried, but that He rose. Today I receive forgiveness. And I just want you to put a hand on your heart. Father, I pray You'd fill them. I pray, God, that Your great love would mark their hearts, that faith would constantly be the fuel and the spark that lights their fire so they'll come in and go out and come in and go out. But I pray that it's Your love. Your love is pouring it out. It's a container, and You have a choice to receive it every time. Every time. I just pray You'd be one of those who are thirsty for more of God's love, that there'd never be enough, that You're always receiving. I mean, it's enough, but it's never enough. And I don't know how to explain that any other way than, yes, God, Your love, Your life, and everything You did, it's enough, but it's not enough, because I want more, God. I want to be with You more and more and more and more. And I just thank You for it, God, as You just mark us and change us. There's world changers in this room. God's going to have you do things that are way beyond anything you can imagine, because that's how He works. And if it sounds just like way beyond what you could think and imagine, that's probably God. So God, I just bless the dreams in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, listen, before you just make a move, you got to get your kids quick. We got to cycle in and out. I know it's raining, but...